Our next public hearing is subdivision 2011-3, Keith Properties.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Dagsborough 100, Sussex County, dividing 5.99 acres into 8 lots. And it is, this site is within the environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone and located at the southerly end of Marina Road, approximately 850 feet south of Road 336. This application was reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee, and I would ask Mr. Abbott if he has any comments.
Mr. Chairman, the Technical Advisory Committee report of May 23rd of this year, it's been in the file. It's made it part of the record. On May 27th of this year, the applicant submitted an exhibit booklet. Each of you has received a copy of it. There was one in the file. It's part of the record. And I've just passed down a letter from a surveyor disputing the right-of-way width on behalf of an adjoining property owner. We received that letter on Tuesday via email, and that's a part of the record. And that's all I have at this time, unless you have any questions.
All right, sir. We thank you.
I traveled 2 hours to get here for this proposal for Dorothy Turner.
It's been withdrawn, sir.
I called your offices today at 3:30, 4 o'clock. It was still on, and then I traveled, and then it's not on. There has to be a better way,
Mark,
for us to,
one copy,
to be able to inform the people who are for or against whether you spend this much effort to come to address this and then be told that it's out at the last moment. It just seems like that's...
Well, sir, they have the right to withdraw their application any time up until the time it's called for a hearing. So I wish we could accommodate you, but we can't. They can withdraw their application at any time. They could have done it at 5 minutes to six.
Who did you speak to, though? Because it's been withdrawn for a little while. That's why.
The person who answers the phone at the office of your planning zone, whoever that person is, okay. The lady.
Okay. It's been noted on the agendas that it's been withdrawn since the 2nd of June.
Oh, my goodness,
she,
really?
She didn't tell me that.
Right. Okay.
She could have at least informed me.
Sure. Well, we certainly apologize for that because, we hate the fact that you traveled for that. Just so you know, it's not going to be on this evening. It's going to be put on another agenda at some later date. They've withdrawn it, so there's really not anything pending at this point. So, okay.
Yeah. Quite right. We apologize, sir.
Jeez. I didn't realize it was myself that had been off that long.
I take it that some folks are here with an interest in this application this evening? Okay. These exhibits can be kind of hard to see from where you are. Feel free to get up, take a closer look. We'd appreciate it if you would do that quietly and not have a meeting while you're up there, but please feel free to get up and move around take a look at what's being exhibited. And with that, Mr. Davidson, I guess it's or who? Who's up?
Good evening. Gentlemen, my name is William Scott. I represent Keith Properties. I'm an attorney from down in Fenwick. On behalf of Keith Properties, with me tonight is Steve McCabe and Mark Davidson, who are the consulting engineers for Marina Cove Estates. As Mr. Lang said, this is a proposed 8-lot subdivision located on 5.99 acres in an AR1 with the environmentally sensitive development district overlay at the end of Marina Road in Dagsborough 100. This project was actually before the commission last year, about the same time, and it was the commission voted at that point to deny the preliminary subdivision application at that time, and that was based essentially on two substantive reasons. One reason was that there was a request at that time that wasn't made until sometime either at or just before the hearing for a variance from the landscape buffer requirement. The other reason was what was termed as uncertainty regarding the existence of the required 50-foot right-of-way to the subdivision. We are reapplying because we've resolved both of those issues. As to the first issue, the project's been redesigned to eliminate the need to request a variance from the buffer, from the landscape buffer ordinance. So the plan that's before you does not require a variance from that buffer. As to the second issue, which is the 50-foot right-of-way, since the time last year of the hearing and the denial at that time, we've done extensive research to try to conclusively establish the existence of the right-of-way. We've gone to the state archives. We've met with DelDOT on numerous occasions, went back into the Recorder of Deeds. And the question last year at this time was, where is the 50-foot right-of-way? And I think actually Mr. Robertson asked during the last hearing, what does DelDOT have in their files regarding their maintenance inventory with regards to this road, which is Marina Road? The answer at that time, correctly, was that DelDOT didn't have any file on Marina Road, period. Due to transfer of records up to Dover, which were going to be imaged and what have you, apparently the records regarding Marina Road were lost. Not accepting that, Mark Davidson sent some people up to State Archives. We met a few times with the officials for DelDOT. And as we were meeting with DelDOT, literally meeting with DelDOT up in Dover, and they were reminding us that they didn't really have any, they were showing us old overlays and old aerial photos of the property and telling us that they didn't find the file and they don't have the file and they're very sorry and they don't know what the issue is. A gentleman from DelDOT knocked on the door and came into the room and said, if you're talking about Marina Road, I have the file. That file is included in the presentation books that you have tonight. Mark Davidson is going to take you through that in a little bit more detail to explain to you what that file shows us. But based on the information that we received from DelDOT, we were then able to go back to the Recorder of Deeds office and find the recorded easement agreements from all of the landowners on either side of Marina Road. Those are also in your presentation books, and Mr. Davidson will take you through that as well. They were actually in some books that are a certain volume within the Recorder of Deeds office that is no longer used. They're not the typical deed books, which was why there was some difficulty finding those the first time around. But what we've been able to find now, and again, the recorded easement agreements are in your presentation book, is all of the landowners as of 1975 granting the 25-foot on either side of Marina Road right-of-way to DelDOT at that time. And the petition for the request of those owners is in there as well. It was actually a petition by the landowners requesting that DelDOT take over what was then a dirt road into their maintenance obligations. And DelDOT did that based on getting the 50-foot right-of-way that was dedicated. As I said, the information regarding the information from DelDOT that was found, the rights away that were granted in 1975, and also the deeds for each of the property owners on either side of Marina Road are within your presentation book. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Mark Davidson to take you through those in detail.
Good evening. Mark Davidson, principal consultant with Pannoni Associates in Milton, Delaware. Davidson, are you going to do a lot of pointing? Because if you are, I'd like for Mr. McCabe to go over here and point so these people can know what you're talking about. If it's okay. As Mr. Scott had mentioned, during the last hearing, there were two things. There were two issues that were brought forth for the main reason for denial of the first application that we submitted. The first was I had submitted a waiver for the buffer on the first application. The second application, I was able to relay out the subdivision. In the booklet, under the landscape section, I provided a landscape plan. And in that landscape plan, and also within the color rendering also shows that we now show a 20-foot wide landscape buffer as required under Section 99-5 of the subdivision code. We also show a planning list, the number of plannings that are required under Section 99-95 have been met. There's a list of plannings within the chart. There's details, and we show the calculation for the buffer planning requirements. What we've done is, if you look at the color rendering, and also in the booklet there are some aerial maps in the back under the map section. You'll notice that this section of the subdivision is wood. We show the 20-foot buffer coming through there, but the number of plants, based on the calculation under 99-95, it talks about the length of the buffer. You run it through the calculation, it tells you how many plants or how many trees you need to plant. Although this is wooded, we went ahead and took that number that's required for the entire length, and we placed it within the open space along the open lands, which are part of this subdivision. Essentially, the buffer, the number of trees we planted behind lots 3 to 8. Second, this is the one I'm going to get into a little bit of detail with. Was the 50-foot right-of-way. And under 99-17 of the subdivision code, the access to the subdivision shall be from a public highway having a width of at least 50 feet. As Mr. Scott indicated, we spent a lot of time, we spent a lot of efforts in researching, a lot of meetings with DelDOT, Delaware Archives. We had 2 or 3 trips up there, spent a lot of time in the courthouse doing a lot of research. In the booklet, under the right-of-way section, there's a the first section that I'm going to talk about is a report that was handed to us by DelDOT. The beginning, it talks about the real estate section, and was the was the copy of the letter that was again was the package that was given to us by DelDOT. On the second page is a petition. It's dated April 2nd, 1975. Under that petition, it says that we, the undersigned residents and users of a dirt road in Sussex County leading from Road 336 towards Pepper Creek. And just for the record, this is Road 336. And the position of the subdivision, this is Pepper's Creek. From 336 towards Pepper Creek for a distance of approximately 1,000 feet. Do hereby petition the Division of Highways to accept said road into its system for maintenance. A right-of-way width of 50 feet will be provided. And under that petition are signatures. And I'm just going to quickly read through. It's Curtis and Maddie Steen, Henry and Margaret Kirby, Earl and Edith Smith, Charles and Deborah Stevenson, Richard and Grace Calhoun. Second page, Thomas and Patricia Fry, Edward and Carrie Steen, and Franklin and Catherine Timmons. And that's going to be important here when I get a little bit further into this section to talk about the property owners and how this 50-foot right-of-way was established along Marina Road. Approximately 2 or 3 pages after that, there's a report that was prepared by DelDOT back on April 23rd, 1975. In this report, it talks about the location, again, being a road that runs south from 336 to Pepper's Creek. They talk about the physical characteristics of this road. It was a dirt road, approximately 10 to 12 feet in width. The total length of the road is nearly 1,000 feet. The roadside culture consisted of 3 houses and 2 trailers. Under that, it talks about the condition of the condition of the road as it was inspected. And again, soil, surface, poor drainage. There was evidence of some maintenance by property owners. The right-of-way could be classified as private. The road leads to a public boatyard, and there were about 20 boats. At the end of our property, there's no boatyard. There's a boat dock that dilapidated, basically has fallen apart. Mr. Keith and Keith Properties have been working with Deneric to see if they could permit that. But one of the checklist items on the application for Deneric is there has to be a need, and the need would be what they're requesting is an eight slip boat dock to be reestablished out here at the end of this point, but they can't get that done until we successfully get through this body. So they talk about a boatyard that was there, a public boatyard, and there were about 20 boats. And then they talk about traffic, and it says no traffic counts were taken, but the estimated total traffic would not exceed 25 vehicles per day. But during the summer, when the boatyard was being used, the traffic could be higher. And then they run through some of the road acceptance methods. And it basically, on number 4 on the next page, it talks about the roads could be accepted under general powers of department, section 132. Roads so taken over are to be laid out or accepted without regard to any personal advantage toward any person or persons or community along a route or routes of travel as will accommodate the greatest needs of the people of this state. So essentially, the right-of-way was established for the people of the state, so basically so that they can have free travel across Marina Road to and from their properties. And then finally, on that same page, there's a recommendation, and the Department of Highways and Transportation can accept the above road for permanent state maintenance only after the property owners have dedicated for public use a 50-foot right-of-way. As I count, going through the documents that were given from DelDOT, there's a letter, there's a memorandum on page 13 to Mr. Harvey J. Berry, Chief of Right-of-Way, from Mr. L. Thomas Shockley, the District Negotiating Supervisor, and it's in reference to a Sussex County dirt road leading from 336 to Peppers Creek. All the right-of-way pertaining to the above-mentioned road has been acquired and the easements recorded as of this date. The date on this is June 23rd, 1975. And I have notified Mr. L.H. Pittard of this information. Next, I'd like to, at the very end of the DelDOT document, right before you get to some of the deeds that I have in this section, there's a drawing, hand-drawn, kind of rough. This was pulled out of, there's a drawing similar to that midway through this package that was included in DelDOT's package, but this is a drawing that we found in the Delaware archives. And what it indicates here is that it shows the property owners that were out there at the time that these right-of-ways, that this right-of-way was dedicated. We have Calhoun, Kirby, Smith, Fred, Stevenson, and then you've got Curtis Steen, and then you got E.J. Steen. And on this drawing, it talks about, it has three, it's very hard to read on the drawing, but it says Road 336 here, it says Peppers Creek back here, has 0.4 miles to a cul-de-sac. 0.4 miles is approximately 2,100 feet. If you were to take the right-of-way, if you were to take the distance from 336 and you were to run along the easement, run along the existing dirt road back then, which was 10 to 12 feet wide, which ran through this property, which is considered Marina Road Drive because there's two properties that access this existing dirt road through Mr. Keith's property. Their addresses are Marina Road. If you were to follow along this road for approximately 2,100 feet, you would end up down at the boat ramp. And it talked about a cul-de-sac on that map. And in this area here, there's an indication of a cul-de-sac. And that was the turnaround for the boat ramp. So the drawing that is in the DelDOT file, and the drawing it talks about, and the drawing that we found at the Delaware Archives, talks about the 0.4 mile. And as you can indicate, as you see on the drawing, it talks 25 feet. Basically from the center line of this road here. What I'd like to do now is, after that, I've placed some deeds and like to go through that, and I will try to be as quick as I can. The first deed, of course, is just outlining that our client, Keith Properties, had purchased this from the Timmons family. The next deed is for parcel 28, Mr. Frank Timmons' 1946 deed that basically outlines that he owned all the land on this side, on the west side of Marina Road. He owned all this land at one time. And as I go through some of these other deeds here and point out, the next deed is Mr. Calhoun, and basically Mr. Calhoun's deed indicates that he began at an iron axle by a light pole driven on the south side of the aforesaid Piney Neck Highway, lands of Anthony Steen and Frank Timmons. Basically, they're talking about this point right here. This was Timmons, this was Steen. At this point, right here in the middle of this right-of-way, the shaded part that's on the drawings. And that's Mr. Calhoun. The next deed is for Mr. Kirby, which would be these lands here. And on the drawings that we've submitted, I've labeled who the owner of the property is now, and then underneath of that, I put formerly Henry and Margaret Kirby. In his deed, it talks about beginning at a point in the center of said outlet road. Beginning at a point in the center of said outlet road. The next property down, and Mr. Kirby, by the way, his deed outlines both this property here and this property here. So he owned parcel 26 and 2602. Is what that deed indicates. The next deed would be for parcel 26.01, and it was owned by Earl and Edith Smith. And again, beginning at a stake driven in the lands, in line of lands of Curtis Steen, being the corner of other lands in these granted, and being the center of an outlet road. Again, Mr. Smith owned here, Mr. Steen, Curtis Steen this side, and the stake was driven in the center of the outlet road. The next property down was Mr. and Mrs. Frey. And again, beginning at a stake driven on the west side of an outlet road and between the lands of the grantor, which was them, and again, Curtis Steen. So the Frey's property is here, a stake on the west side of the road, but again, Curtis Steen owning on the opposite side of the road. And then we have Charles Stevens, and again, the beginning of his deed talks about beginning at a point center of said outlet road. Charles Steen is a piece of property that is immediately adjacent to the Keith properties. And again, it talks about how the point was at the center of the road. The next two deeds are for Mr. E.J. Steen and for Curtis Steen, and basically just showing and indicating the ownership here. The ownership was, and again, the property line that we're talking about is right here in the center of this shaded part, all the way back. And then Mr. Curtis Steen owned on the east side of that, and then E.J. Steen, as you get down to a concrete monument, which is depicted in his deed, he owned all the land from the concrete monument all the way down to Pepper's Creek, and there's a boundary survey in there for on the second page of Mr. E.J. Steen's deed. Last in this, I've submitted as part of the record are easements agreements that were, as Mr. Scott indicated, that he had to... He spent a lot of time at the recorder deeds office looking through a lot of books that weren't referenced as deed books, but these easement agreements talk about these are the easements that were signed over, relinquishing the 25 feet on each side of the common boundary line between Curtis and DJ's team and the property owners on the west side. And in there, I have Curtis Steen's, and it states, talks about a road leading from Road 336, a distance approximately 1,000 feet, in Sussex County, followed the present county road centerline, except where it is considered necessary. This easement shall consist of a width of 25 feet of land measured at right angles to the center of the road as constructed. And again, when I was reading through those deeds, each one of those deeds began their property description began at the center line of the road. So everybody gave, so Mr. Steen gave up 25 feet along his entire property line for this right-of-way. EJ, the second one is EJ Steen's. His says the same thing, 25 feet from the property. Mr. Steen owns from this monument here. So he gave up 25 feet of his land here, as indicated in the easement description. Mr. Calhoun is the next one. Henry and Margaret Kirby. Earl and Edith Smith. Mr. and Mrs. Frey. And Charles Stevenson. All of them. And again, if you look at that drawing, this better tells you Calhoun, Kirby, Smith, Frey, Stevens. You got Curtis Steen, you got EJ Steen. All of them giving up 25 feet along the common boundary line for a 50-foot right-of-way that was accepted by DLDOT. And it was recorded in the Recorder of Deeds office. The last two easements, we found, these are some informations that we found in the Delaware archives, and it was they're daylight easements, they're for permanent easements. And that's the indication of these two triangles right here at the beginning of 336D. One was given up, the first deed there was given up by Curtis Steen on this one, and the second one was Mr. Calhoun on his side of the road. So both these easements, the last two easements in that package there, in that section, were the easements. So again, what we're indicating here is we went back 1,000 feet. We traced the deeds back. We've plotted every one of these deeds, every easement, placed it on, and found that the common boundary line was the center of this shaded portion all the way down. We've taken 25 feet off, as was petitioned, and as was signed off on these easement agreements, and we've plotted this. So there's a 50-foot right-of-way the 50-foot right-of-way goes back 1,000 feet. Stops here, 1,000 feet stops right here, which is about 200 feet inside our property. So what we've done, the establishment of this easement we've been able to provide all the information. And again, it took a lot of time and it took a lot of research. And as Mr. Scott had indicated, it has scratched a lot of heads at DLDOT to be able to pull up the documents and to be able to prove this. But the documents that are in the front of this section here all came from DLDOT, and which is in their file. And at this time, I'm going to turn the rest of the presentation over to Mr. McCabe.
Good afternoon. My name is Stephen McCabe. I'm a professional engineer with Pannoni Associates, and I'm going to cover the compliance of the site plan under the subdivision ordinance. As Mr. Davidson had alluded to through his presentation, we have access to a county road by 50-foot right-of-way. We've got water, we've got sewer, and we feel like our site plan that we submitted is in full compliance with the zoning ordinance, and I'll go through the individual items. The first item that's listed under 99 is going to be integration of proposed subdivision into the existing terrain and surrounding landscape, and we would like to make the testimony that the site is bordered by the land exit Pepper Creek and the Merritt Bennett subdivisions, and it has been screened by a landscape buffer which will conform with surrounding land uses. The second item that's required by the subdivision ordinance for preliminary plats would be minimal use of wetlands and floodplains, and a wetland delineation was performed as part of the environmental assessment and is included in a project booklet. There will be no wetlands disturbed by this application. No lots contain wetlands, and no wetlands are contained within any streets or right-of-ways. Third item is going to be preservation of natural and historic features. As the site is in the environmentally sensitive development district, an environmental report was done and is included in a project booklet. No historic resources or endangered species are identified on the site, and none are being endangered by this application. The fourth item would be preservation of open space and scenic views. It's only an 8-lot subdivision. It's currently being used as a dirt road with some debris on the site. So 6 acres of it total, and 3.1 acres are left as open space as part of this application. So we have over 50% of the site as open space under this application. This site will also have a forested and landscape buffer that will improve scenic views over what's currently there. If you've toured the site, there's some junk cars and some dilapidated outbuildings, which will be cleaned up as part of this application. Number five, minimization of tree vegetation, soil removal, and grade changes. The site is moderately treed with, like I said, with some debris. That's going to be cleaned up. As far as disturbance, the street design incorporates the natural grades and topography of the site and will be designed to minimize cuts and fills while staying away and screening wetlands. The sixth item is the screening of objectionable features from neighboring properties and roadways. And as I had mentioned before, a landscape buffer is provided, and a landscaping plan has also been provided and is included in the project booklet under the landscaping tab. All lots will be screened by the landscape buffer. Number seven is going to be provisions for water supply, and the project has central water availability. A willing and able to serve letter from Tidewater Utilities is included in the project booklet under the water tab. Provision for sewage disposal is also taken care of. We have a letter from Sussex County Engineering including the project in the project booklet under the wastewater tab, and it basically states that we are to connect to the county system that is currently serving the subdivision, the lands of Pepper Creek next door. We have also taken care of number nine, prevention of pollution in surface groundwater. The project has central water and central sewer, so no groundwater is going to be drawn from the ground or discharged as wastewater. All surface water will be captured by a modern stormwater management system in compliance with all laws and regulations of the Stormwater Management Ordinance, DENREC, and a conservation district. Item 10 is going to be minimization of erosion and sediment control, and we will also comply with best management practices, and the project will be designed in compliance with all the laws, rules, and ordinances under soil and water and under conservation district. Number 11, provision for safe vehicular and pedestrian movement within the site and to adjacent ways. We've also established that. We feel we have bona fide access to a 50-foot public right-of-way. The right-of-way that is there is intended to be a right-of-way. We feel we've demonstrated that it's 50 feet wide. However, I mean, you know, there are numerous right-of-ways in the county that are not 50-foot wide right-of-ways. There are 30-foot wide right-of-ways. There are 40-foot wide right-of-ways that, that serve a lot of traffic and serve it adequately. But we feel the 50-foot right-of-way is intended to be that, and that it's there, and that we will. It's also dedicated to the public, and is also maintained by DLDOT. So we feel like we're connecting to this system. We're providing safe vehicular access over what is there. It's currently being used as a right-of-way and a dirt road for a marina, and we're going to improve that road. We're going to build a private 50-foot right-of-way to county standards. That right-of-way is going to be lighted and provide a vehicular turnaround that is compliant with the State Fire Marshal's Office and with Sussex County standards. Number 12, effect on area property values. We feel like we've also adequately addressed this. If you look in the project booklet, we have deeded restrictions that require the housing to be a minimum of 2,000 square feet with garages and landscaped, and that they are to be stick-built custom homes. No modular homes will be permitted. So we feel like that is going to be a positive impact on the property values of the area. On number 13, preservation and conservation of farmland. As I stated before, the property is being used as a access to a marina, so it's not in agricultural use, so no farmland is being impacted by this application. Item 14, effect on schools, public buildings, and community facilities. We feel like this project is only 8 lots, so any impact to public infrastructure is going to be minimal. However, the project will be contributing to property taxes and the like. Number 15, effect on area roadways and public transportation. We feel like we're improving the situation based over what's already there, because we are providing an improved paved roadway. We are going to be providing street lighting, and we are going to be providing a compliant turnaround for emergency vehicles that will be in compliance with the Fire Marshal's Office and the county road standards. Number 16 is compatibility with other area land uses. As I said before, the project is bordered by the Merritt Bennett subdivision, and it is also bordered by the landings at Pepper Creek subdivision. So any further subdivision would be in compliance with adjacent land uses. Number 17 is going to be the effect on area waterways. And as I stated before, it'll be under the regulation of the stormwater ordinance enforced by the county. It'll also be under the Sussex Conservation District. So any stormwater will be designed to be contained on the site. Currently, you have surface runoff directly into the bay. Our stormwater management system would be a modernization of what's already there. We feel like these items are all included in the project booklet. We feel like the project is in compliance with the subdivision ordinance, which is a permitted use for this site, and it is all reflected on the findings of facts, which are included in the rear of the project booklet and the conditions of approval. And with this, I'll refer it over to Mr. Scott.
That's actually the conclusion of our presentation. If there's any questions from the commission, obviously the team's here to answer whatever questions you may have.
All right, sir, we thank you. We'll see if there's anyone here with any questions for you. And we'll start with Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Davidson, I guess I have a couple questions for you, sir. You started at the beginning. I just kind of want to reiterate to refresh my memory. You said the landscape buffer and the requirement is on this proposed plan is acceptable under the standards that and the ordinances that we have now. There's no waiver from that buffer. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Right. When you did the research, as you laid out there through the archives and all, if we're asked to accept that what you got, you know, is showing a 50-foot right-of-way, does the road this subdivision gets approved, does it get realigned from how it looks now?
Well, that's the subject.
From the visible features.
Well, again, that is a conversation that we've been having with DLDOT. That is something that will hopefully, if we are approved, we will have to go back before DLDOT for entrance construction plan approval. And at that time, DLDOT understands that there's an issue here. Once this was pointed out, and once this file was found within the DLDOT's right-of-way section, they, and showing the right-of-way as we show it on this plan, they understand that we got to go back before them, and there's something, this has to be addressed. How it's going to be addressed, we haven't gotten in it. Mm-hmm. We haven't gotten into that part of the discussion yet, but this is something that does need to be addressed by DLDOT.
I'm sorry to chime in. I just wanted to help Mark out, but we're going to connect to the 50-foot right-of-way where it contacts our property. As Mark has said, I mean, I don't think we can control what's off of our site. I mean, it is a public, dedicated to the public right-of-way that is existing. It is a DLDOT maintained roadway that is existing that meets our property boundary, and we're going to connect to it as it hits our property.
To simply stated, if you're satisfied with the research that you've done, that there will be no further taking or surrendering of property that isn't already historically documented by the DLDOT file. And if the road would have to meander from how it presently looks, as I believe you said, Mr. McCabe, it would be staying within the land that was already surrendered and serves now as that DLDOT recognized 50-foot right-of-way with no further taking.
I think it's what is existing there is sufficient for our use that's off of our site. You know, as we get onto our site, of course, we're going to build our road in a different place on our property as it's already there, but we're going to connect to and utilize what's already there off of our site.
And if the subdivision is approved and the developer goes in, the developer will be bearing the financial burden of putting the road in encompassed by the site of the application. Is that correct? That would be at his expense?
Yes.
And then will that then be turned over to DLDOT for perpetual maintenance, or will that be the responsibility of the 8 future homeowners?
It is a private street to county ordinance, and it'll be a private right-of-way. It's my understanding.
You're talking about within the subdivision?
Within the project, yes.
Within the subdivision, yeah.
So it'll be the developer's responsibility until such a time he turns it over to a property owners association.
This might be a question for Mr. Robertson or Mr. Lang. In the construction of that road is something that's typically bonded.
Yes.
To ensure compliance as well as completion, so it goes forward. And
whether it would be state right-of-way or dedicated right-of-way or county private right-of-way, it still would require a bond at 125% of construction cost.
Thank you. At the extreme south on this, you've got a 20-foot wide perpetual cross access easement. That does what? Is that stub street, or?
What that does is it allows the property owners, again, two properties, parcel 34 and 36, access their properties through deceased property right now. So what this does is establishes, and it pretty much follows along the existing road, the dirt road that's going there right now. So what we've done is we've established there's no easement there now, so what we've done is established a 20-foot easement so that they will always have access as they have now.
Mm-hmm. Right. Thank you.
Can I expand upon that? The easement that they have now, there is none of record, or does it say they have a 20-foot access?
It doesn't say they have a 20-foot access. There is an easement. It was in Mr. Timmons' deed stating that he granted access for these two properties. It's in his deed, but it doesn't establish. We just went ahead and made it a 20-foot wide easement to kind of clean it up.
And how long has that been established?
I believe, boy, I don't have it.
Well, I'm just.
I'm not really.
Would it be before 1968?
I believe so, yes. It's 1965.
Mr. McCabe touched on that you've got in the project book, you've got deed restrictions, et cetera, dealing with square footages of the homes. Sounds as though putting words into your mouth, upscale homes that you're planned. Any plans, if this is approved, I don't see a mention of sidewalk insofar as the safe pedestrian movement. I believe you mentioned you would put in a series of street lights. Mm-hmm. Any plans to do a sidewalk alongside the proposed Marina Road extended?
Not at this time. The existing roadway that we're linking into doesn't have sidewalks, so they wouldn't lead to anything.
But they're not the subject of this application.
That's correct. So there are no sidewalks planned at this time.
Insofar as amenities, with the exception of the dock and pier, and I want to ask you a question about that. Of the streetlights, is there anything else? You're showing an open space. Is there something that goes with the open space?
Not at this time. Just again, if we're successful in getting this application approved, Mr. Keith would like to move forward with Denerac and continuing with the dock application. And down there, there's sufficient area down there to be able to place picnic tables and things of that nature to be able to have for the 8 lots within mm-hmm. the subdivision.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you spent a lot of time, as you had to, because decision of the commission when you were here last year, which isn't this application. You spent a lot of time researching the deeds, the right-of-ways, and the Dell.dot archives. Where does this application stand insofar as any other permits? Not talking about the pier at this time. Have you moved forward with anything, any of the wetland delineations, any?
Yeah, the wetland delineation has been completed and what has been submitted. That was...
It's in the project booklet and it's under the environmental assessment. It was part of the environmental assessment requirement. Mm-hmm. Has been performed.
What type of timetable do you have? You get an approval to get in there and do some bush hogging, cleaning up, get rid of the junk cars and things like that. Has there been any talk of that?
Not at this time. I mean, we haven't really talked about a time frame, but it's the goal of Mr. Keith at this point. He's going this far with this application, and basically having us do the amount of research that we did, that one, if we are successful, we're going to move forward, and our next step would be to work with DelDOT and all the other agencies and getting engineered plans moving mm-hmm. forward.
Is there a plan for a central mailbox facility at the end or down by the open space?
Hasn't been hasn't been discussed.
You just spent all that time up at DelDOT and everywhere and haven't gone out there. All right. Stormwater management, have you had discussions with Jessica Watson?
Not at this time.
Where do you think that your stormwater will go to? Will it be draining towards Pepper Creek?
No, it will not. We'll contain it within the site. We don't plan on running off directly into Pepper Creek. We're going to capture it in roadside swale and treat it with best management practice as we do with most standard subdivisions.
Mm-hmm. If I were a neighboring property owner, would I want to hear you say that if this was approved and there were provisions for handling your stormwater, that it would not adversely affect my property? In other words, the impact, the footprint of what you would build and do here would not come and flood my garage or
absolutely
put water in my dog pen. All right. And lastly, what is the vision that you have for the marina, the restoration of the docks and piers under what you can do as far as permitting?
As far as the Deneric guidelines, and again, Kelly Pearson with Envirotech is handling that aspect of the permits for the Mr. Keith. The need is 8 lots. That's all we're proposing out here. And when Deneric issues the dock permit, it'll be for 8 lots. So I imagine that it's only going to be for 8 boat slips. Mm-hmm. So again, anything outside of that for outside marina, and Mr. Lank or Mr. Robertson, yes, I believe that becomes a commercial application at that time, and it falls under a whole set of different guidelines. So the dock itself will be for the residents of this subdivision.
So there might be some thought as to securing that, maybe by some type of security gate at the entrance to the dock and pier, something that would be key carded so only the owners of those lots could access that.
It could be something like that. Again, in order for somebody to be able to go back there, they're going to have to run in front of all 8 lots if somebody from the public were to.
That's the beauty of a private right-of-way. You can do that.
And with the amenities and the maintenance, will you be preparing a budget under DeCoya so the future homeowners, if this is approved, would know what they would have to come up with insofar as homeowners' fees and assessments?
I'll speak to that. It's exempt under DeCoya because there's not enough lots, but it's still a good guide, the budgeting and the reserves, even though that wouldn't be required. It's a good guide that would be used in the budgeting for a homeowners association. But it's exempt from DeCoya because it's too small.
Mm-hmm. That's all I have at the present time. Thank you.
All right, sir. Mr. Ross.
Mr. Smith did a very good job. I have a couple of questions about the Martin and Sterner properties on the easement. Do they have you said the Martin obviously has perpetual. The Sterner access goes through Martin's property?
That's correct.
Yeah. And I guess they have a deal between those two, and that extends into?
What we've been able to research for those two properties is with this diagram here and with some of the older archives, under the map section, if you look at some of the older photos, you can establish where these two driveways right here, and if you look at the offset of these two lots, there was a driveway here, and then there was a driveway here. Some of the older era photos indicate that there were driveways here. But actually, in present, I don't know if Sterners or Martins were I don't believe they were the original owners back when the easement was granted. They utilized, a road has been built that comes right across the front of their properties now. And so they utilize the dirt road that's going through the property and they come up in front. So again, through the establishment of this map here were the two entrances, again, 4/10 of a mile back, right here.
But the current is just a driveway.
It's just a
dirt road.
10, 12-foot wide dirt road.
And I guess for the purposes of DLDOT, you're treating that just like a culvert entrance, 20-foot, that they would on any road, like you would put a tile in.
That is correct, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And DLDOT's okay with that?
That is correct, yes.
And then during construction of the road, if we were to approve the application, how are you going to be able to accommodate these folks getting in and out while you're building the road up to grade, up to county specs and all that?
What was that? I'm sorry.
How are you going to accommodate these two property owners getting in and out during construction of the improvements of the road?
Back in, I believe, 2007, I think it is, DLDOT implemented what they call a traffic management plan. We've discussed that at our last DLDOT meeting. This TMP, as they call it, traffic management plan, will have to be prepared, which will, and in those management plans, you address when you're disturbing anything within a DLDOT right-of-way, how you're going to accommodate the needs of the people that are affected by road construction. So that will be addressed during the entrance construction plans so that they are not interfered with ingress and egress to their properties.
Okay, and then the thornier issue for me is, if I'm understanding this right, correct me if I'm not, Marina Road was established as a 50-foot public access to that marina, right?
No. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll get a chance to talk. This gentleman,
I'm just trying to understand why Marina Road, the 50-foot easement, was established.
That establishes a 50-foot right-of-way to the marina is this drawing here, this rough sketch that talks about 4/10. What we were able to establish through our research, and again, through all the signatures, the petitions, and everything else, is that a 50-foot right-of-way, approximately 1,000 feet long, and there's a lot of documentation here that talks about 1,000 feet long. So that's why we didn't show this 50-foot right-of-way coming all the way back to the marina.
Right.
But in the documentation that DelDOT talked about in their report, they talk about a marina. They talk about 20 boats being at that marina. They talk about it being a public marina. But the only thing that we were able to establish through all our research, through the Recorder of Deeds and the Delaware State Archives, is that 1,000 feet back was the 50-foot right-of-way. Again, the only map is this one that both, and again, this was in the Delaware State Archives as well, was the 0.4 mile back to a cul-de-sac at Pepper Creek. But,
well, I mean, if I remember correctly, you mentioned E.J. Steen's property, which borders Pepper Creek, as also signing off on that 50-foot easement. Is that correct?
Correct. But in reading the easement agreement, it just talks about where the easement starts, which is 336, and it talks about a length, 1,000 feet. 336. And E.J. Steen, because approximately a little bit more than 200 feet comes into his property, he had to sign off on the easement for that 200 feet, not all the way down.
Just based on that 1,000-foot number. But the 1,000-foot number was maybe an estimate. It has not been
right.
Surveyed.
Right. In DelDOT's report, they talk about the road being, that the establishment of the dirt road being, and again, it's conflicting a little bit. It talks about 1,000 feet. DelDOT's report talks about 1,000 feet. The petition that everybody signed off on was 1,000 feet. I bring up, and the only reason I bring up the 0.4 mile is because in DelDOT's report, they have this map, and then we were able to find this plan here. It's about halfway into their report, but it doesn't have, if you look at the drawing, it doesn't have all these names on it. What we found in the Delaware Archives was this plan here that had all the names on it. They talk about 3R, 4R, and those are DelDOT designations. And if you look at the easement agreements, they talk about 3R, 4R.
Well, Mr. Robinson has a question, but here's the reason I'm pressing a little bit is because I'm just trying to understand if this is a public marina and public access to that marina or not. If you're doing a very good job of establishing the 50-foot easement, at least to this point, I haven't heard the public comment to rebut it. So, I mean, to this point, you're doing a good job. But then you're kind of picking and choosing and saying, well, wait a minute, it stops where we want it to stop. And I'm just trying to understand in my mind if that 50-foot easement is good to get to your property, and the record seems to indicate that the state intended it to go all the way to the marina, then isn't it also good to get to the end of the property? And doesn't that make the public access, doesn't that give a question to your request to make this a private road?
Well, the issue, if I may, Mr. Ross, is that if you look through within the presentation materials, the easement that DelDOT asked everyone to sign on either side, the 25-foot on either side, all says approximately 1,000 feet from one to the other. So they're all, doesn't matter how much frontage may be for a particular property owner, they're all saying we give away whatever right we may have in 1,000 feet from 336 down Marina Road. as Mark pointed out, there is some evidence in what DelDOT is said at that time that they wanted and accepted, which would have been 0.4 miles, which would have gotten you all the way back to the cul-de-sac. But the easement, the petition of the property owners at that time for what they wanted accepted, and then the easements agreements that were prepared by DelDOT for everyone to sign, were 1,000 feet from 336 down. And where that 1,000 feet gets you is right there. So.
Well, I think the question Mr. Ross has was actually different than mine. The point you're making is whether, if it's approved, whether that road is basically a state road all the way out to the cul-de-sac, or if it ends at some point. And I understand that. My question was going to be, I want to make sure I understand. I think, Mr. Scott, you explained this. But when you talked about, Mr. Davidson, it being approximately 1,000 feet, the fact of the matter is, I think, is that when you look at everybody that signed off on those agreements, the petition and the easements, that takes it out to the same point. I mean, there's not any question that it goes at least that far, I guess, to the end of those properties. That's what I'm trying to understand.
That's correct. And the reason I think Mr. Davidson said approximately 1,000 feet is because if you look in the easement agreements that everyone signed, it says approximately 1,000 feet as opposed to saying 1,000 feet.
But so, all the signatures take it out that far.
That's correct. Okay. That's right. I mean, I guess that's a much better way of explaining what I was trying to explain, which is we absolutely know we can establish it to there. It could be argued that it goes all the way back, but we know the reported easement agreements that we found take it 200 feet into the property.
Well, we'll have to see if anyone makes that argument or not.
Thank you, Mr. Ross.
I guess there's not a plan for a boat ramp. Just is there going to be a boat ramp there or just docks?
Again, I'm not familiar with the application, but I believe it'll probably have, because there is an existing boat ramp there now, so they will probably keep the boat ramp and establish the dock for the marina. So, yes, to answer your question, there will be a boat ramp there.
I would think there probably would be. And in closing, I would just recommend that, you know, that's clearly depicted, and there's some safety issues in case somebody pulls through when it's dark at night and they end up in the water. And that's not a good thing. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Chairman, I adequately understand their application. I have no questions at this time.
Okay. Mr. Burton.
I just kind of go back to where what Mr. Ross was saying. Are there any other properties that could have signed off past the 1,000-foot? Or did it just stop at the end of the property that was so deeded by ownership?
The end of the properties was Mr. E.J. Stevens and then Mr. Timmons. And that was it. I mean, they both, Mr. Steen owns the Pepper Creek, and Mr. Timmons at the time owns the Pepper Creek.
Okay. Are the properties that had signed off on the easement, do you know if their deed reflects that signed easement or not?
No. I've not seen anything in the deeds that reflected the easement that was signed off on, the 25-foot. And again, that's what made it somewhat difficult for Mr. Scott and his staff to be able to track down the easement agreements that we have in this booklet here, because there was no reference to them.
There was reference to them at DelDOT, but not necessarily when they bought the property. Is that?
I would think so. It probably. I guess I can sort of correlate that to the tax ditch issues that we deal with right now with these right-of-ways. That nobody knew that they had a 250-foot tax ditch right-of-way on their property when they bought that piece of property, and now what we're having to do is go back and renegotiate these tax ditch right-of-ways. This is the same way here. Is I think these people owned these easements, or the property owners that I mentioned here in the book signed away a 25-foot easement. These easements and got recorded, but they were filed away in a different book. And I think Mr. Scott could probably answer that because he did the research. They were filed away in a book that wasn't referenced under any type of deed book, so there was no cross-referencing in the recorder of deeds. So subsequent deeds after original owners, there was just no mention of them.
Okay. Why on the one of the drawings there, there's a funnel that goes into the property. What is the reason for that funnel?
That is the daylighting easements.
Oh, these were the last two.
It's the last two deeds that were in my section here. They're called they're daylight easements for road intersections. It's for sight distance. It's so that they can't build anything within these. So that people come out here, they can be able to turn out on this road safely.
And that was also recorded.
Yes, that was net deed books 760, 192, and then 189 for both properties on either side of the right of way.
Great. Thank you. All my questions are answered.
All right, sir. Mr. Lang.
Is the center line of the proposed cul-de-sac street the basic location of the existing Marina Drive or Marina Road as it goes back to through the Timmons property?
Yes. It meanders a little. The existing road meanders a little bit more. It's basically
all within the right of way.
It's all within the right of way.
I get a little heartburn sometimes when you deal with a dead-end state-maintained street and you extend it, but it's private. Just personal opinion.
Well, I can tell you we had discussions with DelDOT about talking about
whether it should be dedicated.
Whether it should be dedicated or not. And if that's...
And DelDOT doesn't want any more routes than they have to take. We know that.
Yeah. But if, you know, if it's built per DelDOT standards, they will accept it.
But if it's built per DelDOT standards and it was private, then sometime in the future they could dedicate.
That's correct.
That would accept it. But you're promoting to build it to county specs and leave it as private, period.
Again, these are... Yeah, that's what we're proposing at this time. But
I'm just trying to get it clear. That's all. That's all I have.
All right, sir. Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Council?
Mine have been answered. Thanks.
All right, then.
Gentlemen, we thank you. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone with us this evening that might like to comment on this application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2011-3 Keith Properties? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2011-3? All right, sir, you sir, right up front in the striped shirt, you're first. And the gentleman immediately to your right will be next. And then you'll be third.
My name is George Merrick, and I live at the end of Marina Road with my wife, Natasha, and our two daughters, to be 30436 Marina Road, Dagsboro, Delaware, zip code 19939. I've got some information here that I'd like to give to the members of the council here with a recent survey. I have five copies. There's a survey here that I'm going to reference, which was done recently.
If you would start with our director there.
There you go. And then there's other information in there, and a couple of, this is fairly important here, the State Highways Department of Highways Transportation Division, right away, you can kind of follow with that information
Thank you.
It's pretty cut and dry. Who'd like one of these?
Down, pass one down there. Here we go.
If you can open up that survey that was done in March of 2008 when we started to have discrepancies. This is done by Temple and Sellers of Seaford. And this is the road as it exists. There's no curve to the road. It's just a straight as an arrow, as you see on this survey. It has the lots as they are sitting. My lot is at the end. Our lot is at the end. Natasha, mine is at the end. And right there, it is marked clearly that 25 foot was given. And I didn't have any trouble finding any of these easements. The one easement that was in question that I heard the gentleman speaking of was the easement given by Frank and Catherine Timmons. And that is incorrect. It was given by Franklin and Sarah Timmons in 1978, and that was for 1968, excuse me, dated 25th of November, 1968. And that was for a 20-foot right-of-way, which went past the properties, the first three properties there, and that would be Mr. Fry's property. I think it's Fry, Smith, and Kirby is what that one was, and it's marked here. Excuse me, haven't spoken public in a while, but that would be deed 637133, and it stops at the edge of our property because at that time Jay and Debbie Stevenson had not purchased that property from Mr. Timmons. And that was a little discrepancy there. I never saw Franklin and Catherine, who was Franklin and Sarah's son and daughter-in-law. I have yet to see an easement signed by them. The one that the applicant put in his package was signed, I believe, by Franklin and Sarah, so not Catherine. And that was, it's right in your packet also. So anyway, that's a little discrepancy there. I never heard of a mystery file. That surprises me. But it's nice that those things do still exist. I have a few things to say here, and then I will do reference to some of their plans here. But back of the subdivision is not wooded. It's still a field. And it was never a public boatyard. It was always a private boatyard. Franklin Timmons and husband of Catherine Timmons is still alive today. And he pulled boats down off of that point with a tractor. The railways are still there. If you go down there, you can see old railways from a train, you know, railroad track. And Mr. Timmons used to pull it up. His father ran the other boatyard around the corner, and he did it for hire. I mean, it was never public. And also, if on the state maintained road, as you turn into Marina Road, it says dead end. And if you look on this piece of paper given to you by the applicant, it says Book 70, page 193, State of Delaware Department of Highways and Transportation. If you look right here in the middle of that, it says dead end. On Marina Road, it's always been a dead end. It never went off into the woods.
Doesn't that refer to the opposite side of 336, though? That means it's not a
no.
A
that's an extension of this. This is the this is just a somebody's yard right here. The opposite side of 336 is just a yard here. There's no road there at all.
Right, but isn't that what the dead end means? That's where that the roadway doesn't.
No, man, no, sir. This is an extension of this road, and it goes here and says dead end. You with me?
No, I'm not, actually.
Okay.
Have
you seen this one?
I'm looking at it right now, okay. And what it shows me is you've got 336.
Well, to correlate with what I'm saying here, if you turn on the Marina Road, there's a big old sign right on the left that says dead end. That's another thing there.
But it draws a line across right there, which you said somebody's front yard, and indicates that Marina Road stops and doesn't go all the way through. What else? I'm having trouble.
Maybe I read it wrong.
Maybe I'm understanding what you're saying. Saying that this reference to dead end means that somewhere else on Marina Road further up it dead ends.
Yes, sir. That's what I thought when I saw this because I didn't see another part of this. As you turn on the Marina Road, excuse me, there is a sign that says dead end.
Right.
State main sign, maintained sign.
It's all the same sign. Where does it dead end?
The Marina Road dead ends right at my property marker, mine and Natasha's property marker. And if you look on the survey, you can see that it will say approximate end of constructed road down at parcel 233724. You'll see approximate end of constructed road, easement 751.
But that's also at the border of Keith properties, is that correct?
It's actually prior to the border. The border does not start until down there where you see the dirt road entering into the corner of our property. And there's also a little sign there that says it's 10-foot dirt road access to parcels, which is Mr. Sternum's and Mr. Martin's property that are at the end of Keith's property.
This is an example drawing that dealt out user to exhibit.
Right.
That exhibit portion, it's a sample. I use it in all their documents.
Right.
They all look the same except they highlighted the area in question.
Yes, sir.
I mean, it's just a standard form that this they use, and they just cross through whatever doesn't apply. That's why I always
the dead end part means that there's nothing across
the road.
Yeah, right. Edge of 50 okay. Foot right away.
Well, there, as I stated, there's a sign there put there by the state that says dead end on Marina Road. So that's why, in turn, I thought it was that situation. There's also no mail service. The mail service stops at our property, which is Natasha J. Merrick's property. No mail service goes to Martin or Stern, I mean, excuse me. And like I said, the boat ramp, it was always a private boat ramp. Boats were pulled by Mr. Timmons. Except where it was deemed necessary to straighten the road. The road used to have a curve in it right there where our property starts, and the road was straightened by the state. And you can and that, in turn, pulled it away even further from our corner mark, which makes it not a full 25 feet at the end either. It would make it less, actually 6 feet less. It makes it 18 feet at the end of our property. And I have no, this is basically, this is speaking on behalf of my wife and I, and really I don't have any animosities towards anyone in the area there, none whatsoever. I'd like to also state that. And I would like to know that there has been no surveying done since we did our survey in 2008. I've seen no one. The markers have not been uncovered at the end of my road or on Marina Road in the center of the road. So I really don't understand fully where they got all their information without a proper survey being done. Because DC Group is the one that first put the applicant in, and they had proposed a land swap with us so that they could have egress. They could add their 50-foot access if we gave it to them in a land swap. And we wanted nothing to do with that because we hardly want even more. We've already given 25 feet. Mr. Jay and Deborah Stevenson gave 25 feet back in 75. So I hardly wanted to lose even more of our front yard. So I said no, and that was with the DC group. Let me see, where are we now? And I can't understand on their plat where they're going to capture all this stormwater and where they're going to put it, because it's a whole lot of drainage there. It's excessive amount of erosion to the 10-foot access to the two properties back there. It started out being ground level, and now over the course of I don't know how many years, you'll see that it's about 7 foot. The erosion of the road has taken 7 feet of the road. So there's a considerable amount of erosion and also stormwater that runs down there, which heads straight into the creek. So in my eyes, that's an issue also there. And there at the end also, I know this is because I work on the water. I've been a commercial waterman now. I'm also a professional captain now. But I know that the open space provided, which you guys were talking about, where there's going to be picnic tables and stuff, you're going to have to put anchors on the picnic tables, because at a mean high water, that whole piece there is always covered with water. I mean, not just a little bit. I'm talking, I've seen 6 foot of water there on a good stiff northeaster. And you can look at it, even if you just ride by in a float boat, you can look at it and see if jetsam and floatsam and approximately all kinds of marsh grass and piled up there. Mean high water brings you a lot of water into there. And that's about the end of that. And then I got a little spiel here I'm going to say, and then I'll be out of your hair. And I have a lot of information in that packet, which I hope the council will consider and also take into consideration. And I'm not going to bore everybody with all the details of that. There is a letter in there from the gentleman that I had surveyed a property as to right-of-ways and whatnot. And the main thing that I'm saying is that, you know, the right-of-ways are still in question. You know, the one that stops at our property, I can tell you, that if you look at this writing, this other note here that was put in by the applicant's application, the one that we looked at here where it says Pepper Creek cul-de-sac south, there's no cul-de-sac there. But you can also see, I know it's not to scale, but you can see that Charles and Debbie Stevenson's property, which is ours, goes straight across to EJ and Carrie's property. And that's another thing that's in question with when EJ and Carrie devoted their land to the completion of Marina Road. You know, you see that it's very even there, and that EJ Steen's property looks very, very small. And I feel that at that time, what they thought was, we'll make a dead end road out of this. Mr. Timmons came and went with his foreman and his marina business. It was Timmons Marine Engineering, super nice guy, really popular in the area. But he came and went. There was never any trouble with that, you know. And so that was never in question in that day, as well as up to the time when Franklin Marina was taken over. And I think it was Marvin Steen bought the property. And now that is slated for 40 homes there, which of only three are built. And I think that happened, I don't know, I guess there's 3 built out of 40, and they're still sitting there idle. There's no roads in that marina. You just have 3 homes up on the main road there. And then down from it, right alongside, which butts up to the old Timmons Marina property, where there are 40 homes slated for that, is a property that Bake Timmons bought from Townsend Incorporated, and there's 200 homes slated for that. So there's 240 on Marina Road, plus there's a couple additional developments that still have lots available, and I don't know what Marina Road looks like when you put 700 cars on it, but it's already stressed out. But I think the real thing in question is their right of way, you know. But that is something for you guys to consider, because you guys are stewards of Sussex County, you know. You guys got to look out for the county. That's what I feel is part of your job. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. But here it says, "Dear sirs, we live at the southern end of Marina Road. It's appalling that Keith Properties is once again trying to push the subdivision through again. Papers included in this folder are all you will need to see that they have no 50-foot easement in which to exploit the quality of life in our neighborhood. It was common knowledge that there's only one dwelling built on KPI's property, Keith Properties Incorporated, and that it was always known it was just one dwelling there. Mr. Keith and I actually used to be friends until I turned down his proposal, and he hadn't spoken to me since that day. But I do know that he purchased the property initially, but we're not going to go into what people think because that's all hearsay. And I do also think that, while I'm just on this one little subject, and I don't mean to keep talking, but it'd be good if you had a Bible here for people to swear in so that when somebody told you something, there was as much of a truth as they actually thought it could be. Because you get so many variances with, you know, developers, landowners, and whatnot, and it's nice if someone would actually stand by their thoughts.
The only thing I would say to that, sir, is that most people really believe what they're saying at the time they say it.
Right.
and you know, that's part of our job. We're trying to figure this out.
Sure.
And I appreciate your comment. I mean,
right.
we would hope that everybody would tell us
some
the
people
truth.
Still put their hand on the Bible and tell you a tale. But anyway, it says, "As a steward of Sussex County, you need to step up and do what you're obligated to do. Respectfully, see to it that the quality of life is not threatened by further reckless abandon of unwanted and unneeded developments. 250-plus homes are now slated for construction on our 3-mile stretch of road, and you can't even get to Main Street now." I said, "It's during the busy times. How in the world will we even leave the area with 500 or 700 more vehicles added in the future? The applicant is using cluster homes as a guide to take advantage of the county with as much of its open space. You'll see, you can drive by in your boat and you can see silt fences that were washed back and forth by the high tide. I think that, you know, maybe they were put there at low tide, you know what I mean, and they didn't know what they were doing, because a lot of people don't really realize how high the tide comes and goes and whatnot, but it's blatant to see that the tide does come over top of their open spaces, and these lots are really, really small. I know that if you have a certain amount of open spaces, I think I might be correct, that if you have a certain amount of open spaces, you're allowed to have smaller lots right up there on the river. I could be wrong. This property is prone to excessive runoff, and this has been noted with the erosion. It can be plainly seen from the 10-foot access road to the 2 properties at the end. We have, at our personal expense, hired a surveyor to research and survey all the easements, and we did this prior to the meeting in 2010. And we also, these easements were researched again, and that is depicted in our letter from our surveyor, around to and through our property. The applicant is not even correct on its scale, is putting in many assumptions and into point. Marina Road is not even where it is on their plat. As you can see on the plat, that is exactly where it is today. It's a straight road. There's no massive turn there. That's a fairly serious turn there, you know, and that is not to scale whatsoever. And it also is following a direction that is incorrect. If you turn on the Marina Road, it's pretty much a straight shot. I think that our surveyor is well respected, his highest caliber in this state, and has done plenty of work to and for and around the county, and our surveying speaks for itself. We love Sussex County and really appreciate our neighborhood. We'll stand by our right to a quality of life that we cherish as Americans. Why should we suffer for the benefit of the bank accounts of the applicant with no interest in preserving what's left of Old Sussex County? My wife and children and neighbors and friends feel the same way. We really appreciate what we have down there and feel that 24 cars, at least 24 cars, coming and going would endanger our families as well as disrupt our value of life. I will not let this injustice go unnoticed. I'll see to it that my property and my family live there unthreatened and unharmed. We've given 25, the Stevensons gave 25 feet years ago, and we don't plan on getting off one more inch. My children play in our yard and walk along the street, confident and safe from harm, and this is why we bought our house down at a dead-end road. Please read over the material provided to you in my folder. This is one more example. Wait a minute. There is more than ample evidence to deny the proposal. I'll not surrender one more square inch of my property. Thank you very much, George and Natasha Merrick.
All right.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Yes,
appreciate
indeed.
It.
Can I just ask one question just with all the maps? I want to make sure that I follow. Kind
yes,
of
sir.
So your property is the Stevenson property? The Stevenson?
Yes, sir. It okay. says Natasha J. Merrick on... I think their plat and also the one
okay.
I gave.
Yeah, because just with the different surveys, I wanted to make sure I matched it all. All
right. Yes, sir. It's the last one down on the right, and okay. the last one down that does actually have a deeded easement.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. So you're next. Tan shirt, more hair than I have.
E.J. Steen is my name, and Karen, my wife. We reside at 700 Cherry Drive in Dagsboro. If I can, gentlemen, can I approach you guys?
Sure.
All right. Here is a copy of my deed or a plot. Here's a plot of my property, mm-hmm. and it was recorded back in 1974. Mm-hmm. Okay, fellas, or gentlemen. Here is County Road 336, and the right-of-way, from the way I understand it, was half of 336, and it went approximately down here, 1,000 feet. And Del Dot maintained this dirt road for many years, and they stopped right here. And here was the Stevenson property over here. I don't dispute any of what you guys said about everybody giving their land away, because it started up here with the Calhouns and then the Kirbys, and then it was the Smiths and Mr. and Mrs. Fry and Mr. and Mrs. Stevenson. And my father, this was all field here, gentlemen, and my father gave 25 feet this side, and all these neighbors gave 25 here. And that was the 50-foot right-of-way. It did not go all the way down to the river, to the boatyard. The state never took their road grader past the Stevenson property. They stopped it right here.
Did it go up to Keith's property, EJ? Did it reach Keith's property?
Did the right-of-way go to as I was saying, here's County Road 336, and this 1,000-foot easement went from here, the center of the road, approximately 1,000 feet, and Del Dot stopped maintaining that road right there. And here's my property marker here, and down here, gentlemen, all this area is all marsh. There's the river right there. And again, all the neighbors gave 25 feet of their land, and my father had this field out here, and he gave 25 feet of the field. The Timmons Boatyard was a private marina, and again, Del Dot's maintenance at that particular time, it stopped there. Right at the corner of my property and the Stevenson property. Marina Road never came into existence until Benny and who was the other fella? Benny? Bruce Benny and Tim and Mary, when they came up with Holly Cove Development, as I stated a year ago, that's when Marina Road became Marina Road. Other than that, it was just a dirt road maintained by the state, and it was a dirt road for many, many years, and then they just put some tar and chip on it.
EJ, did you give up any 25 feet off your parcel?
I did, yeah.
There's a...
Yeah, I believe...
Can you reference it off this map? Because this shows your land right here, EJ Steen, right? And here's the Stevenson property. This was your dad. It's up here. Okay, mm-hmm. So you gave some easement in
but
here.
If
how
it
far?
Was, it was very little. It
they're,
didn't go
they're
in
saying, They're saying
there's
that
one.
You gave up...
Because it was 25 feet.
Here's the easement. They're saying 200 feet from your corner property line.
Well, I'm telling you, they stopped. They stopped road grading. Del Dot.
Well, but where they maintain and where the easement is could be due to two different things, right?
Ma'am.
All right, ma'am. We can't have any shouting now, but you can speak when you get a chance.
I'm his wife.
It doesn't matter. I don't care if you're his mother. He's got the floor, and when we recognize you, you can speak. There you go.
Well, gentlemen, I don't know what else to say. I just think it's a shame for somebody to take somebody's property. I just hate. I mean, Sean, the neighbors and everybody gave up 25 foot so that all of us could have a decent ride, a road to ride on, and now it seems like they want to take even more. And again, all this area down here is all wetlands. This property marker is actually right in the marsh. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
You want this back?
If I might, before somebody else comes up.
No, we've got that. That was the one I had. That's yours.
EJ, can I see your survey real quick?
Yes, sir.
I couldn't see what you were showing. Okay, we have it. That's in part of their book. Okay.
Yes, as I was saying, 336.
Right.
Right here. And Del Dot,
okay.
The maintenance of this road stopped right here, Lawrence.
Okay, I understand.
Right in front of Charles and Debbie Stevens.
I just want to make sure we had the right. We had the same
the
survey in the book.
Boatyard.
Okay.
And the boatyard was private.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Thank you. Mrs. Steen, if you would like to come up and talk, come on up. Ma'am, I will get to you next, but she seemed to be pretty anxious, so we're gonna hear what she has to say. Give us your name, please.
I'm Carrie Steen, 700 Cherry Drive, adjoining the Keith Properties.
Okay.
Also, when this document was presented to us, there was a great big huge tree in the middle of this road, and this tree had to come down, and they said in order to get this tree down, they needed the rights to come onto my property to take this tree down. And that's when this was signed. This 1,000 feet was signed because the tree would fall onto my property and they would have to take it off. Also, too, I'd like to point out that EJ did not sign this document.
Okay.
This is not his signature.
Who's the signature?
It's mine.
Okay.
So somebody notarized...
Somebody notarized this.
So what you said is I'm not even going to repeat
yeah,
that.
Yeah, let's not even go there, ma'am. I'm not...
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm just telling you that is not his signature.
Well, I'd like you to go back and sit down and think about what you just said.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you could have a real issue. Okay, ma'am, you're next.
It's amazing what folks will admit to.
All right, so go ahead.
I'm Pat Fry, Patricia Fry, for the record, I guess.
Yes, ma'am.
We have here our original deed of the property from which we purchased from Mr. Frank Timmons and Mrs. Sarah Timmons. Mm-hmm. At the time, and this was recorded September the 5th, 1963. We purchased it in the summer and cleared that property by hand. And we were fully aware that the old road which I have a copy of, was, and it was just called Old Outlet Road, which abutted 336, which is Piney Neck Road. We were fully aware that a portion of that road ran through our property. And Mr. Timmons assured us that that was a truck path and a, you know, a whatever. I would like also to refute what was said that the boat ramp and boat yard that was in the original Frank and Sarah Timmons property was ever a public road. A public marina, excuse me. Mr. Frank Timmons did boat repair there. I've known that property since at least 57, 58. I never, ever saw more than, let's give an outside number, five boats, maybe, at one time. And I think there is some confusion given the fact that these documents were apparently mislaid at some point in time. There is some confusion about this small repair marina, which Mr. Frank Timmons had, and the public marina, which his son Franklin had, that is on a portion of the horseshoe-shaped road that goes Marina Road off of 336, goes all around where the two properties that you were questioning, Mr. Ross, were they going to have access and egress, goes all the way around and then comes back out to 336. The public marina was on the far end, not Mr. Frank and Miss Sarah's. That was never public. And there was some mention of traffic of 95 vehicles on a day. I dare say there were not 95 vehicles there in a year.
I think it was the Del Dot document said 25, but still.
Right. I think there was whatever.
Right. Okay.
So every person who purchased from 336 from Mr. Frank and Miss Sarah knew full well that the road that was then there was not going to be the correct road. And this shows where the new outlet road was, which was then years later designated only when, I believe, we got 911 coding.
Could you let us see what you're looking at there?
Yes.
Is that the deed to your property?
Well, it looks like it might be a survey is what I'm thinking.
It is. Oh. It is.
Great.
And here's our deed.
Oh my goodness, look at that.
Keep going. There are copies of the deed in here, I believe.
Yeah.
And the easement, which they referenced, is true.
I'm going to ask you to take a look at this. You would just to see.
Here is the easement for our particular property. And okay. As they stated, we all did indeed give the easement.
Okay. I just thought the survey might be instructed, possibly.
Just making sure that we have the...
Yeah. We will certainly give those back to
you. Okay.
Yes,
you will.
We're not going to keep them.
I guarantee you're not.
I can make a copy of the one.
Yeah, I think
survey if you want.
But, I mean, there was no deception in the selling of these lands by Mr. Frank and Miss Sarah. We knew that the road that was there was not ever going to be a maintained road. It was a road that they moved their farm trucks up and down. I mean, the path of least resistance. So I do think that the confusion about the marina is the result of the fact that Mr. Frank and Miss Sarah had a private repair marina, which is now a part of Keith Properties. But it was on the other side of the U that their son, Franklin, had what was indeed a public marina. And we used to go out from that ramp ourselves when our kids were small and we had a small boat.
Okay. Excellent. Let me give you these back. Can we get a copy of this one?
I'll do it. Just pass it back.
Do you mind if we borrow this long enough to make a copy? He's going to go do it.
Right. I'll give you these back, though.
You can go with him. You can go with him if you want.
No, I'm kidding. You can go with him.
Yeah, I give you everything. Yes. I think. Yeah, okay. Yeah, and then there's just the survey that we should like.
And he'll bring it out to you when it comes in. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Sorry, were you finished?
Unless you have questions for me.
I think we're okay, but I appreciate your comments.
Okay.
And just one
other question. It has been my understanding from the beginning of when the county began to maintain what is now called Marina Road, that it indeed did end at the what is now the property of the Merricks and was earlier the Stevensons. That there had never, Mr. Frank and Miss Sarah had never granted anything other than access and egress of 20 feet. Okay. For the people on that side. And again, I don't know if there is some confusion in the documentation and records between Frank and Franklin the son.
I believe, Ms. Bach, that most of the members of the commission probably are familiar with the Franklin Timmons Marina because it was the subject of another subdivision application a few years ago.
Yes.
And so
part of the Pepper Creek property.
We are, from those of us that served on the commission at that time, are aware that there were two marinas.
And, it might be useful to search the record and see how the marina was referred to during that application because that may shed some light on this public-private situation.
I think that just came from when I reviewed these documents in the book, the reference to the public marina, that's just an annotation in Deldot's record sort of describing.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean anything, right?
Yeah.
All right, ma'am. We thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, who's next? All the way in the back. Yes, ma'am.
Good evening. I won't keep you too long. My name's Jessica Thompson. I'm a graduate student in the Environmental Science program at Wesley College, and I work at the USGS. I'm a resident of Delaware, not technically Sussex County, but a resident of Delaware. And a concerned environmentalist. I have two questions. With the current degradation of water quality in our watersheds leading to our bays, housing developments contribute to the nutrient loading into the bays. With the application of lawn fertilizers and rain and stormwater runoff, which leads us back to the subject of how the stormwater runoff plan would actually work out and would it be economically and environmentally feasible. I don't technically see that happening. And also, looking into the future, outside of the box, with sea level rise, it's becoming a gradual reality, and the developers actually never once addressed this issue.
Never once addressed the issue of
sea level rise.
Okay, you're right. I don't believe they did.
That's all I have. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Okay. All right. Who's next? Anyone else? Last call. Well, one trip to a customer. I'm sorry. The man. It's just the rules, sir. I'm sorry. You can stay till the end if you want and see us in the hallway.
No, we can't. I'm going to advise against any outside the record.
That's right. Discuss. I'm not supposed to say things like
that. No offense,
that.
There's a way you have to do it, and that's not it.
That's right. Okay. Anyone else? Anyone on the commission have any questions? All right, before we close the public hearing, I want to thank all of you for coming out this evening. You were very well-mannered, very well-behaved, very typical behavior of us Sussex Countyans, and always makes me proud. And there are good people on all sides of these issues. Clearly, there's a lot here to be worked out. We're going to do the best we can with what we have, and we assure you that all your comments will be taken into consideration. Now, when I close the public hearing, you're all going to want to get up and start talking, but we have another public hearing, so what I'd like you to do is I would like you to get up, but I'd like you to leave before you start talking, okay? Or you're welcome to stay to see if we make a decision this evening. So with that being said, we'll close the public hearing. Thank you for being here. You are welcome to remain to see if we make a decision later on. Our next public